Loosening. Loosening the connections in the body. Like untying or unbraiding. Untwisting the mind. By feeling gravity. By allowing the surface outer layers of the body maybe to kind of flow down towards the feet or down towards the ground. These eyes that we didn't make for ourselves. With eyelashes. That we didn't make for ourselves. These eyes so tiny that can see the vast sky. Allowed to rest back. These ears that we did not make and could never have imagined and designed. Each one so individual and common. Allowed to rest or to be. These lips this mouth and throat. These lungs. Like upside down trees, or like roots. the lungs moving in their own pulse, their own opening and closing. If we would see any creature in the water with that kind of movement, spreading out and pulling back in. Just a sense of wonder, or how weird, how alive. And maybe feeling from that middle of the back down along the backbone. That long train spreading down and back. All those bones holding themselves closely together. With space between. The front of the backbone inside the body. Movements with the breath. And maybe resting as if back into our back, as if on our favorite place in the world, the grass, the sand, the hammock, the couch, the embrace. Especially maybe from the back, between the shoulder blades and down. Not only the backbone, but also the sides of the back. Maybe something like a baby on her or his back. Maybe not understanding anything, being so in it. Being so in it. In the world, inner and outer. In now. So in it, that understanding would be less satisfying than the direct. As it happens, unfolding of the moment. like putting aside now the instructions of how to, the maps of where to getting in our lives. Not what we thought our lives were. But this kind of spring that keeps bubbling up just now. With the freshness and intensity that is almost unbearable sometimes. And so simple, so small, so in it. And if there's somewhere along the back body, maybe around the middle of the back, for example, a gathering place, a center, aliveness already happening, and thinking about it, images in the mind or words about it, are more like sparks that come off afterwards, which is fine. But that sort of magnet or gravity of the direct, the source from which the thinking or emotion or image or word about might flash. Perhaps the middle of the back, holding lightly. Holding itself together lightly. So lightly we can get the sense of where something in us has a programming to try to hold it together. Myself, life, whatever, can feel the lines of tension that have gotten used to feeling I have to hold it. And letting that unwind, be felt, neutral. Not your fault. Nothing wrong. Mind and body trained in certain ways, and now gradually erasing that program. just by it being felt and it not being all there is. So somewhere, maybe in the body, could be the middle of the back or the lower belly or the heart, the sides of the back, as if we're a kind of satellite dish shape, parabolic dish. And maybe somewhere that feels like a center, somewhere in the middle is sort of the center and bottom of that. So energy and now can gather or pop up there. And lightly room for everything to keep on happening by itself. For a while. Eyes resting back. The different thinking about myself and the different thinkers. All those different sort of microphones inside. Allowed, but not interesting. And maybe we can feel by the tension or the burden or the excitement. That disconnection, that it's not what is, not what we are. A miseducation. And as if we could allow more and more space between some center, maybe in the body, some center in the openness, more and more space between that center and the different me thinking about me. The worried self, the excited self, the ambitious self, the planning one. All these trainings, more and more space between center and the many small selves. Attitudes. all those attitudes or small selves, like so many costumes that life may put on, that now we can leave lying empty on the ground. Where does worry get its energy? Anger, excitement, planning, giving up, shutting down. More and more space. Between the center now and the costumes of our past training. And kindness, an atmosphere of kindness, is allowed. An atmosphere of humor is allowed. Wonder is allowed. Not trying to make space be neutral. And maybe the middle of the back, or where your center feels to be a little bit heavy. Or if it is in touch with the ground, that contact sensations. And the vastness. The wide world. The wide mind. Wide moment. Eyes resting somewhere in the middle, perhaps a center lightly holding itself together. Heavy. In boundless space. Center and space. Resting our eyes. The center feeling itself. Space already here. everything can breathe. Just now. It's in you. Life is in you. The secret of life is in you. The seed of awakening is in you. A yes to life is within you, perhaps. Any questions or anything to say? We'll have some time for sharing in the closing, but if there's a question or something to share now about your practice.
Nobody ever talks about it. And I had some very unpleasant experiences in the past. And since then, I don't smell like the whole night or something. And after a while, once someone really loved me, I don't know what, it's a very sensitive place to be because you don't want to harm anybody or to, and you can only do about it. A check one can do about it, a check everything in life. But it's only from 40 years old or something, it might happen to everybody because it's me. So I come here and I bring a tent.
You come here and what?
I come here and I bring a tent. So I interfere with anybody. So. But this retreat is lying down. And apparently, sometimes I fall asleep. And apparently, although I really try hard not to see any of this, but it's asking, it happens because you can't have me in ego. And in some way, and I have here little experiences of anger or something towards me, or voices. And something that I really don't know. I mean, sometimes I say, well, never come again to a lion or a tree. But it's something that brings up in me a little pain. And it sounds like I did something horrible, which isn't horrible, it's not like, no, bombing a city. but that's how, for me, that's how it feels. Mm. And it makes me really feel very, very vulnerable. And it's one of those things that you do something and you have no intention to hurt anybody, and you can get it back somehow. Mm. And it happened a lot, I guess it happens to me, because you never know exactly the story or the circumstances or whatever. And I think that when I was very young and somebody would snore next to me, it would get on my nerves. I don't know if it's even a question or something, but it's almost I wanted to put it out there, you know, don't talk about it.
Did you hear? Not so much? So feeling embarrassed but wanting to bring up the subject of snoring, and while being someone who snores and having had painful experiences from here in the past and somewhat this week as well of people's reactions to the sound, and having brought a tent this time so as not to disturb a roommate's sleep at night, but lying down in the hall, sometimes snoring happened, and the feeling of others' annoyance also happened. And with that, the feeling of feeling so bad about having raised someone else's annoyance, out of proportion with the situation. Possibly the annoyance as well as the feeling, how would you say? You didn't say guilty. How would you describe the... As if I've done something so wrong when I know I haven't. How would you describe, or what?
It seems a very helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, I would avoid it.
Yeah.
And I would try hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really one of those things that happens in life. That you do something and then you really hurt somebody. So you really want to just be So it's a helplessness.
Okay.
But to get that feeling, maybe I distort the amount, but feel of anger, that's what I feel.
Mm.
Once when I was actually working in the kitchen, and we slept with a few, once she came and she yelled at me really in the middle of the night.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she told me that she's pregnant and blah, 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 and blah, blah, and she told me the story of her life and how old I am.
Could you hear that second part? Yeah? So the feeling helpless in something I don't mean to do that is bringing up someone else's feeling of helplessness. Actually, someone else's fear of being out of control, and what if I'm not good enough already and you're disturbing my chance to be good enough, kind of thing. And so we do actually on Deep Rest Retreat talk about snoring, by the way, usually. I do talk about snoring sometimes, just so you know, it's not a taboo at all. And it's a kind of, in a way, fun Dharma subject because it is unintentional. Some people can prevent snoring by lying in certain positions. Sometimes that doesn't make a difference. Sometimes it does. And then there can be the way it's triggering on both sides of the coin. And understanding what the trigger is, what's going on. But that doesn't make a clear line of a guideline or a rule or how it's supposed to be, which is then why it's such a good Dharma practice. It's not that no one is allowed to snore. It's not that everyone should snore all the time or that that would be fruitful if everyone is snoring all the time. And it's not a clear line of, like, I snore, so... which I personally, Jaya snores. So I should therefore, if I'm sleepy, always sit up or go outside, or it's not a clear instruction that's always applicable. And to keep feeling and accommodating the actual situation towards actually from whatever side of whichever coin, feeling, okay, here we are feeling helpless and reactive. How can that go not towards more hurt and more repeating of the same and the same, but towards freedom? And so it's still considered radical that I would say snoring is allowed in the hall. That it is just a sound of nature. And the reaction that can come for someone can be interesting. But there could be a situation, sometimes it happens, where someone's trauma is so close to being lying next to someone who's snoring that it's too much to ask for them to just deal with their reaction all the time. So it's getting back to the tenderness and how easily the ways we've been hurt and like inscribed in the past, how quickly that goes away from the tenderness. And so coming to that fear of our vulnerability as possibly the basic place that all of our reactivity starts from, the fear of vulnerability. And what helps us have an entrance inside what we thought was going to be our vulnerability, which is mostly an atmosphere of kindness inside, if possible, helps a lot. And wonder helps a lot. And humor helps a lot. And being from my side willing, you know, this unilateral disarmament, from my side willing to put it down, even though you're angry at me, or even though that's so funny that you're wanting the silence that much that you're yelling at me. So finding what helps the entrance inside, like that fear of vulnerability, and then inside ourselves, that through that membrane of fear in there, is the shift that makes a difference. And so I find that shifting inside, it's not a thing we can do on purpose, but we can have the conditions that allow falling inside, all the way inside. So accepting our vulnerability, falling inside there, we find tremendous power in the tenderness. Yes, please. Oh, sorry, one sec. Is anything more there come up? Okay, now. Okay, thanks.
And you can dismiss the message with a little note if I go to you about the issue.
Okay. Okay. Yes, going on. Could you hear that? Okay. So she's saying that for her, rather, the sound of snoring was really helpful. That when she was feeling, that hearing that someone is that deeply relaxed and trusting, and also the rhythm of it, really was so helpful. And, okay. Yeah. So y'all can be roommates next time. she's saying the possibility of the, feeling the beauty in. Okay, Helena. Okay. Could you hear the question?
No.
The voices, and when there's the thought, oh, I see myself thinking, or oh, I'm thinking about whether to do yoga now or later, is the thought, I see myself thinking, just the mind thinking about itself? Or is that a me that's different from a thought? And if not, then what how does the me communicate if not through thinking and emotion? Is that the question?
Yeah.
So I wrote you a note also on, about this. Yeah. But anyway, it's good. I'm glad you're asking here also. It's such a rich exploration, field of exploration. I don't want to kind of like give you a bunch of answers, but it seems like we could already hear in your question that I am thinking about how I'm thinking is more thinking. It might be a little bit different kind of thinking, but it's still thinking. But it's also interesting to play with, like, who is that that's thinking about what I'm aware of, or who is aware of it. So that's, it's really fruitful to notice, is it thinking? Or if it is thinking, then who is the one that's thinking about? Who is the one that is saying, oh, I was distracted? Who is the one that's catching me up to my tricks? So that is a whole possible line of practice or a field of practice. If possible, with less thinking and more noticing, because it's not as fruitful if I'm just thinking about who is it. That can be a tangle. But kind of more quietly and more looking as if out of this side view, the peripheral vision, and feeling, how is that possible that I am noticing something about me? Or so, and then noticing the different me, the one who loves my life, the one who hates my life, the one who thinks I'm better than, the one who thinks I'm worse than, the one who loves soccer or shopping or tap dancing or whatever. And what that's built from, which it would be usually the fear of vulnerability at the base. To feel what else is there and what other kind of communication or knowing is here. It can be interesting to feel our way to, oh, the feeling of I am here. And then maybe we could take any one of those three words, I am here, as another whole field of practice, like feeling I. What does the I feeling feel like? Or the I experience feel like? The I thought feel like? And what is am? How do we know am? And here, what is here? How do we know here? And it's much more of a practical situation to get ourselves into. But as we, for example, would play around with feeling, that feeling of am, with less the sense of I, or even less the sense of here, but just am, and letting that go deeper rather than going into thinking. Just giving time, like kind of filling up drop by drop with what is am? And giving a chance for, so we can't really put into words the kind of communication or knowing that is not in thinking in words. But it's not to say that there isn't a chance for that to come, for the mind to be in harmony with that. A thought could come like wet from there. And we have the flavor of that. That's a deep thought. That's a loving or helpful or true thought. And the thought part of it will have its limitation. There'll be a way that the same thought could be used against sprouting. Like a kind of horrible example, but worth mentioning. A teacher told me that one time after a retreat, someone was practicing with this idea of no resistance. And then after the retreat, someone was like attracted to this person and seducing this person, and this person was saying, oh, well, we're not supposed to resist. It's more spiritual not to resist. And then a pattern of being in a situation that the person didn't want to be in sexually. So that non-resistance is not saying no to our patterns and to other people's patterns. Resistance is something we can feel in the body that's from our programming. And we can feel the yes to life that would just naturally not buy into that programming. Naturally, sometimes needs a lot of support to happen, to come out of the program. I'm saying that an idea could come from as if out of nowhere and feel like we really resonate with the truth of it. But the words of that, like for example, we could feel the truth of just don't resist. We could feel the truth of it. But if we use the word, the content, the idea of it, it can easily go against us. So I was just using that one example of no resistance can be helpful and obviously can be stupid. It can reinforce or boost programming to abandon ourselves or whatever. Okay, so let's have our break. And we'll meet back in about 10 minutes for the closing meditation and talk and circle.